Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, December 8, 2024, Romans.
All right, before we get started, Miss Oregon Duck. Down here, Sharon Dillard has her birthday this Thursday. And Oregon might be playing for the national championship. They won't be playing UNLV. But they have a very, very excellent football team, Oregon. So happy birthday, Miss Sharon. And are you ready? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our soul. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, update on the Christmas program. We had a great time having our Christmas program with the people at Legacy House Assisted Living. Morgan, their activities director, came in on her day off so that she could be there. She is a Christian and has a license plate that says, Yay to God. She and other staff assembled about 25 people in a big lobby for the program. One of the ladies asked if we were part of the choir at our church. Boy, were they in for a surprise. Al introduced our group and encouraged them to sing along, and how we depend on the big boombox CD player to carry us along. They love singing all the Christmas songs, especially Grandma Got Run Over by the Reindeer. You know, that was a... They love singing all the Christmas songs together. Gary gave the gospel, and Gary Brown also sang a song for them. He is now known as Gary the Crooner. We handed out copies of Debbie's The Night Before Christmas poem, gospel booklets, and Christmas cards. Morgan asked if we could leave some of all of these to put out in the lobby, so we gave her all that we had left over. Many of them thanked us over and over, saying how much they enjoyed it. Thank you for your prayers and for God's answers. Please continue to pray for all those that were there and others who will get a gospel booklet or a poem in the lobby. To God's power, Jamie and the Upland Bible Church evangelism team. So that was absolutely fantastic. All right, Romans chapter 8. And this is a very, very powerful and special chapter where the Apostle Paul is putting the spotlight on the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, who has a unique ministry for us in this dispensation, the church age. And that's, we've exegeted verses 1 through 5, and it sounds like this. In corrected translation, therefore, verse 1, now there is no judgment for the ones who are in Christ Jesus, that is, in union with Jesus Christ as a result of the baptism of the Spirit. Because the principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the principle of the sin nature and spiritual death. Verse 3. For what was impossible for the Mosaic law, because it was weak, because of the flesh, the sin nature, God the Father, accomplished by sending His own Son. That very first Christmas, the greatest miracle this world will ever know, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. In the likeness of sinful flesh, He took on true humanity at the incarnation and virgin birth, and to atone for sin, unlimited atonement, paying the penalty for the sins of the whole world by His work on the cross, so that anyone through grace simply believes in Him has eternal life. That is the powerful gospel. God the Father designed a plan. Jesus Christ did all the work. It was all grace. For by grace you are saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works. That is the grace gospel. That is the powerful gospel. And Satan tries his hardest to totally eliminate that. We are studying on Thursday night class all about the current ruler of planet Earth, our enemy. You have to know your enemy. And most people, most Christians don't even understand our enemy. Our enemy is a fallen angel, Satan. And he is the most beautiful creature ever to come from the hand of Jesus Christ. The most intelligent. And he goes around as an angel of light. And he wants to present wonderful things on planet. He's ruling planet Earth. He wants to present wonderful things, nice things, good things. And he is all PO'd over all of the sin and that's in the world. He is promoting all the things that everybody in this country think is so great. Man's humanity to man. Government and all of these things. And it's not. But he leaves out. He has everything good. That's his cosmos diabolicus. The devil's cosmic system. And the devil's cosmic system is to present himself and present good. He loves it when you're doing good, good, good. But he leaves out the only thing where someone could be saved. Salvation by grace. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all work. That he leaves out. So that Thursday night class, Satan doesn't want anybody, any of you, to know what he's like. He didn't want you to know what he's like. So I don't know what how you have going on, but I'll tell you this. You're going to have more distractions for Thursday night class than any time ever in your life, because Satan does not want you to know what he's like and who he is. He is your enemy, he presents himself as being such a wonderful, nice, fantastic person, promoting human good. So that's our Thursday night class. That's all, no extra charge for that. In the likeness of sinful flesh, he took on true humanity. And to atone for sin, unlimited atonement, he, God the Father, judged sin, the sins of the world, in the flesh, in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Verse 4, for the purpose that the righteous requirement demanded by the Mosaic law might be fulfilled in us. The ones who do not walk, who do not live according to the sin nature, but who walk and live according to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Verse 5. For those believers who live according to the sin nature, keep on setting their minds on the things of the sin nature, mental attitude, what the sin nature lusts for. But those believers who live according to the Spirit keep on setting their minds on the things of the Spirit, God and the Word of God. Again, mental attitude. Verse 5, Romans 8, 5 is all about mental attitude. And, of course, we then began studying the doctrine of mental attitude. And we noted that mental attitude is the function of human thought, human thinking. It's your mental attitude. Your mental attitude is what you think at any given time. And therefore, thinking is the battleground of your soul. The believer out of fellowship with God thinks the things of the sin nature, what the sin nature lusts for. The believer living the spiritual life thinks the things of the Spirit, God, and the Word of God. And we noted many, many scriptural passages, Proverbs 23, 6, and 7. Most people have heard the first half of that verse, or first part, but not the last. For as a man thinks in his soul, so is he. Then he explains what he means by that. And he here is your enemy, not your friend, but he, your enemy, says to you, eat and drink, like he's your friend. But, this is a big but his heart, what he's thinking, is against you. So on the outside, and what he says is one thing, but what he thinks about you in here is a totally different thing. He presents himself as your friend, but in reality, he's your enemy. That's what that verse is saying. What a person thinks in his soul, in his heart, that's what he really is. Galatians 6:3. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. One of the critical points of living the spiritual life and growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, as you do that, in your soul, God becomes everything, and you realize you are nothing. That's grace orientation. When you reach that point where you realize God is everything and you are nothing, now you're ready to take off. If anyone thinks he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Isaiah 55:8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Romans 12:2-3. Stop being conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing, the renovation of your thinking, your thought, so that you may prove what the will of God is, namely, that which is divine good, the well-pleasing to God, and perfect. Spiritual maturity status quo. For I say, through the grace which has been given to me, to everyone who is among you, stop thinking of self in terms of arrogance, beyond what you ought to think, but think in terms of sound judgment, for the purpose of being rational without illusion, as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from doctrine. Philippians 2:5. Keep on having this mental attitude in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:2. Keep thinking objectively about the things above, not on the things on the earth. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then we noted the important point 3, the importance of thinking Bible doctrine. From our thinking comes our motivation. From our motivation comes our decisions. From our decisions comes our lifestyle. What we think depends upon our attitude toward God and the Word of God. Learning the Word of God is tantamount to thinking the Word of God. Thinking the Word of God is tantamount to the application of the Word of God. You have to learn the Word of God before you can think the Word of God. You have to think the Word of God before you apply the Word of God. And then point 4, rapport in the royal family is based on divine viewpoint thinking, specifically virtue love, impersonal love for all mankind as a part of the royal family honor code. And this is Philippians 2. And I'd like to start with that this morning. Turn over to Philippians 2, verses 1 through 5. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 5. Philippians 2, verse 1. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, in union with Christ, first class condition, and there is. If there is any comfort from virtue love, first class condition, and there is, if there is any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. And believers who have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, they're all on the same page. All on the same page. Same mind, same thinking. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind. Maintaining the same virtue love. United in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each one of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this mental attitude in yourself. This is the mental attitude that is to be in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ with infinite virtue love. And that virtue love is to be your thinking, your mental attitude. And then we concluded, the last point we got was point five, inner beauty is also a mental attitude. And we saw that in Proverbs 31, verse 30. Proverbs 31:30 says, charm is deceptive, and beauty, outside beauty, physical beauty, is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Fearing the Lord, occupation with Jesus Christ, there is nothing more beautiful than that. All you ladies, there's nothing more beautiful than that. When you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you are absolutely beautiful. I don't care what your physical age is. I don't care if you're in a wheelchair. I don't care if you're all crumpled up. Like a beautiful lady I knew, Mae Walker, was in Baraka Church in Houston. She was absolutely one of the most beautiful ladies I've ever met. There's another one of the most beautiful ladies I've ever met. I'm married to her. She's my soulmate, and she is absolutely beautiful. She is so fantastic in here. And by the way, I want to thank all of you, and Debbie does too. Thank you all for your prayers. The doctors all told her that she's a very lucky, that, well, they called her a lucky girl. Well, when you call a 70-year-old woman a girl, all right. But that was the plan of God for Deb. And the thing is, you didn't see her for the last month every day. I did. But yet she had this inner beauty, confidence in God, confidence in the Word of God. Her love for the Lord never, ever varied. And she's back working with the kids for the Christmas play. Sunday the 22nd, the Christmas play. Randy and Dodie have put together a one-hour extravaganza. The kids will come out and present their play December 22nd, that Sunday. That's the time where you can bring, it's the purpose of it is evangelism. Now bring your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, anybody you would like to have hear the gospel. Sunday, December 22nd, that's the time to bring them. And they're back working on it as we speak. And Deb is just, she hadn't changed at all. And it sure is great that, during the night, there's actually a person next to me. And now the Lord has the perfect plan for each one of us. We don't know when we're going to go home to be with the Lord. Deb didn't either. But if she had gone home to be with, if the Lord said, Deb, come home, then I would have said, just a minute. Now that you're home, I'll be following as soon as I get to Hoover Dam and jump off the dam and I'll join you. I know that's a sin, but, you know. So, you all know. You all know Debbie does a million things. She does a million things for me so that I can be here and teach you the Word of God. She does a million things in the church. She does a million things for the deacons and with the Bib Ed department. And we've been a great team. But I'll tell you what's beautiful about Deb in here. That's what's beautiful about Debbie. She loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength. She does. And so that's what we have here in Proverbs 31:30. Inner beauty is a mental attitude. I never gave you a couple of points. Let me give you a couple of points. One, the woman who fears the Lord has the greatest inner beauty. The woman who has had virtue love brought to completion in her heart, who has personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, has the greatest inner beauty. Two, a woman's real beauty is her inner beauty from the Word of God, which is in her heart, which has resulted in her fearing the Lord, loving the Lord Jesus Christ with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the most beautiful thing in the world. And we have many ladies in here that are just like that. That's their status quo. And it's fantastic. Three, the more metabolized doctrine in her heart, the more beautiful she becomes. The more metabolized doctrine in her heart, the more beautiful she becomes. For there is no such thing as true beauty in the woman apart from fearing the Lord, the Word of God in her heart. There is no such thing as true beauty in the woman apart from fearing the Lord. Maximum metabolized doctrine in her heart, which results in her loving the Lord Jesus Christ with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength. Five, the spiritually mature woman always possesses a fantastic inner beauty. The spiritually mature woman always possesses a fantastic inner beauty. Now, I know you ladies spend a lot of time on overt grooming, but that only complements your great inner beauty. And therefore, overt beauty, working on the outside, is meaningless without inner beauty in the heart. The lady who fears the Lord, who loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength, that lady is a total pleasure to be around and stimulating as a result of their occupation with Jesus Christ. Point six in mental attitude. Grace giving is a mental attitude. Grace giving is a mental attitude. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9. Now, again, there's a lot of fundies out there that have no idea what grace giving is. And I still have them come into the church here, and they want to know if they can tithe. And I tell them, you're not paying taxes enough to the government? Because tithing is taxation. Tithing in the age of Israel, all the Jews tithe, whether they were a believer in Jesus Christ or they were an unbeliever. They all had to tithe. Tithing is not grace giving. And I've told those people when they come in here, I said, no, you need to hang on to your money because you don't understand. You're not here to tithe. You're here to learn the Word of God. You're here to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you will learn about grace giving. Then you're qualified to give. But if you come in here thinking in terms of tithing or all this, I said, you're not here to give. You're here to learn the Word of God. You're here to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So hang on to your purse and hang on to your billfold and don't give anything. What you need to do is grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You will come to know what grace is. Salvation is by grace. Giving is by grace. And if you don't understand that, then you have no business giving. Just hang on to it, whatever you have, and use it for whatever you want to use it for. Because the only thing that counts is grace-oriented giving. And that's what we have in 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9, starting at verse 6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give, now listen, what he has decided in his heart to give. It's a mental attitude. Grace giving is a mental attitude. And if you have the mental attitude, you do not have to give anything. If you have the mental attitude of grace orientation, then that mental attitude is everything. It isn't what you put in the pot. We don't put it in the pot. We put it in Gary Brown's offering bag. And then when he gets enough, he goes to Hawaii. So, no, I'm just kidding. Some of you believe that. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. If that's any part of your mental attitude, just hang on. Hang on. Leave with your purse full, your billfold full. And, of course, we have had some people that when the bag was passed around, they took it out of the bag. So, you know, they need a little extra. So you have a choice. You can either put it in the bag or take it out of the bag, you know. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves. You might have cheerful giver. God, that means a grace-oriented giver. God loves a grace-oriented giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all sufficiency, you will abound in every good work. In this case, that is grace giving. So, one. God loves a grace-oriented giver. Because this believer is living the spiritual life. He's grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. He has maximum grace orientation and maximum doctrinal orientation. And that is what God has commanded us. 2 Peter 3:18. So God loves the grace-oriented giver too. Everything you give in grace was first of all given to you by God in grace. Everything you give in grace was first of all given to you by God in grace. Three, the believer who is a grace-oriented giver will always have more to give. His resources never dry up. The believer who is a grace-oriented giver will always have more to give. His resources never dry up. Four, in grace giving, the believer supplies the grace-oriented mental attitude, and God provides all the rest. In grace giving, the believer supplies the grace-oriented mental attitude, and then God provides all the rest. Five, it is not the amount or what you give, that's not the issue at all. But what you are thinking when you give that counts. It's not what you give, but what you are thinking when you give that counts. Grace giving is a mental attitude. 2 Corinthians 9:6 through 8. All right. So once again, verse 5, the mental attitude verse. For those believers who live according to the sin nature, they keep on setting their minds on the things of the sin nature, what the sin nature lusts for. But those believers who live according to the Spirit keep on setting their minds on the things of the Spirit, God, and His Word. All right, that brings us to verse 6. Verse 6 starts out, for to be carnally minded is death. We have the post-positive conjunction gar, plus the nominative singular of phronema with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of sarx with the definite article, plus the nominative singular of thanatos. The post-positive conjunction gar. G-A-R, gar. And this is an inferential gar, and it may be translated certainly, or by all means, or so then. And we're going to translate it so then. And then we have a very special word. This is one of Paul's words, nobody else uses this except the Apostle Paul, phronema. P-H-R-O-N, long E-M-A, phronema. Now, phronema is only used four times in the New Testament. You only find it four times. All four times it's used by the Apostle Paul. And all four times Paul uses phronema is in Romans chapter 8. He uses it twice in our verse, Romans 8, 6, then once in Romans 8, 7, and once in Romans 8, 27. It is not in the Septuagint version of the Hebrew canonical scriptures, but it is found in the Apocrypha and other Greek versions of the Old Testament. So, four times, this is the Apostle Paul's word, phronema. So, one, phronema means a way of thinking. It means a way of thinking. It means a thought pattern. It means a mindset, a way of thinking, a thought pattern, a mindset. Two, in our verse, Romans 8, 6, it is used for two contrasting mindsets. In our verse, Romans 8, 6, it's used for two contrasting mindsets. First, the mindset of the sin nature, which results in death. And secondly, the mindset of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, which results in life and peace. So in Romans 8:6, phronema is used for two contrasting mindsets. The mindset of the sin nature, which is death, results in death, and mindset of the Spirit, which results in life and peace. And then we have the noun sarx. S-A-R-K-S, sarx. And sarx, literally flesh, it's used for the sin nature. And then we have the noun thanatos. T-H-A-N-A-T-O-S, thanatos. And thanatos means death. Literally, it's death. Here it refers to carnal death or cosmic death, which results in the sin unto death, if you continue in it. So this is carnal death, which if you stay in cosmic death, living your life in Satan's cosmic system, it will result in the sin unto death. So corrected translation. So then, the mindset of the sin nature is death, carnal death resulting in the sin unto death. All right, we'll take a break there and let you revive yourself and We see you back in about 15 for part 2.